You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Mark, the Fed and the Bank of Canada cut their trend-setting rates by 0.25%. I'm not hearing a lot of fanfare or, yay, this happened. The whole world is great now. They've dropped rates 0.25%. Was it a big deal?
Well, you know, my opinion about the Fed and what they do, quite dubious and have been for, you know, decades. But the bottom line is it was the 0.25 was sort of built into the market because it was widely anticipated, particularly since Jackson Hole, where, you know, Powell started indicating that, you know, things could be changing and their interpretation of the data. But those who are not familiar with the Fed or the interest rates really have to understand there's lot more to the story. And the Fed funds rate that we've talked about many times on the program is just one piece of the puzzle. It's a psychological factor more than anything else. The real story is the Treasury bond market. You know, if that's going up or down, that's the biggest market in the world. And, you know, if the Treasury bonds are not rallying, which means interest rates are coming down, what the Fed does, you know, is sort of irrelevant. The truth is, actually, in today, we're recording this on Thursday, the Treasury bond market was down, indicating that long-term rates are going up, and that affects the mortgage rates and everything else. So the impact to the Treasury bond market wasn't positive. And the Treasury, like I said, the Treasury bond market is usually the tail that wags the dog anyway. Now, prior to today, for the last couple of weeks, the Treasury bond market was rallying a little bit, I guess. It was just in sympathy with the Fed, you know, lowering the rates or whatever reason. But that's, you know, that's sort of the big story on the rates. And then you can't forget that the Fed does a lot of other things, and I keep mentioning this, but nobody seems to talk about it. You know, they control the money supply, most notable of which is the M2 money supply, and that's been rising. And they're not contracting that at all. They just feeding money into the system, which is part and parcel to the why the stock market has been up, irrelevant to the and irregardless to the interest rate discussion. You know, if they start contracting the M2 money supply, then we're going to have some serious problems. Then you're going to go into a crash situation at some point in the markets. So they're expecting a couple more rate cuts. It's more of a political discussion point. And if everybody's jumping on board about it, that's great. But the economy, you know, the is reflected by the M2 is still expanding, despite the fact the jobs market was slower. And so again, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle there. What's really happening? So I'm not much impressed by it. I mean, our analysis talked about the market being up this year, regardless, based on our cyclical work and the presidential cycle and a lot of other things that we do in our analysis. So I'm still, you know, overall bullish, but right now the big story for me is sell Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur, and most analysts, probably 99%, don't even bring up the subject. At least I haven't seen it in any of the financial literature. You know, it's considered you know, an arcane indicator, yeah, but basically it says that, you know, traders, particularly religious Jews, for example, you know, are not active during this period between now and early October, which is they call it the 10-day period of awe, which is, you know, first starts with the new year, which is Rosh Hashanah, starting on Monday and Tuesday, and then going into October 2nd, 3rd begins the Yom Kippur, the High Holy Days. So we're, you know, the statistics, there have been statistics pointing to the fact that it does work, even though there's a lot of skepticism about it. and I'm going to be posting some articles about that in my newsletter. But the interesting part of this, you know, we talk a lot about cycles and lunar cycles and solar cycles. Well, the holiday itself is tied to the new moon, specifically the first visible silver light of light after the new moon, and falls on the first 2 days of the month of the next Hebrew month, which is the seventh month in the Hebrew calendar. So there's this going back thousands of years, the way this is calculated, and it's all based I'm talking about lunar cycles and solar cycles on these interviews, and people saying, oh God, what's this guy doing? Well, there's actually a new moon this Sunday, the 21st, which is a day before Rosh Hashanah begins. So again, tied to the lunar cycle. So let's put it this way. The market shot up. We did see a new high in the Russell 2000 and the S&P today, but my experience, and based on the overall cyclical patterns this time of year, says if you're a trader, get out. If you're looking to get into the market, you should wait, and we'll see what happens here. So I'm in cash right now. I'm in treasury bills, and even sold the gold market. I sold the gold stocks. I sold gold. I sold silver. I just got out here for a few days to see what the market does, because chance of a pullback does exist. And again, this is a trading comment, so we'll see what happens. So I respect the Sell Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur pattern over the years, but particularly since we're in the time of year where there are some market risks and everybody is overly exuberant. And frankly, the market, I thought, was, even though you saw new highs today, most of the stocks I follow were very sloppy today. It looked very sloppy and tired to me. So I think I'm on track here, and if I really was aggressive, I probably should go short the market here. So we'll take a look at it tomorrow, Friday, and see how it pans out. But that's sort of where I'm at.
What's happening on the stock markets? Any reaction to the interest rate cut that you can see?
Yeah, well, the S&P went to a new high, as I mentioned, in the Russell 2000, it's rallying in sympathy, but it was built into the market anyway. And, you know, again, what the Fed does is, again, more psychological than real. And usually the market builds in future prices based on what it anticipates. And they're anticipating, you know, another one or two rate cuts this year, or one or two early next year. So it may already possibly be already priced into the present level of the market. It'd be interesting how it plays out. I have targets that are much higher, but I think if they're going to come into play, it would be after a bit of a correction. So remember now, I'm running a website called VRTrader.com, Leibovitz VR Newsletters, and I am, even though I make some long-term forecasts and I do occasionally hold a few things, I'm generally very short-term in my view of the markets. I'm a trader. I come from a floor trading background decades ago. You know, my whole theory of trading is to be in and out within a day or same day of any position and just quote unquote ring the register, and view the market as a way of making a living day to day in the markets, because I enjoy the action, and we use a lot of technical indicators and so forth. So, you know, my view of the market is not the conventional view in terms of investment management or the talking heads that you hear in the financial media. I'm relatively short term, and I don't like getting caught in surprises. And the market is openly manipulated up and down all through the day and at all times. And you got to be careful. And if you don't like losing money, you try to take day trades and make your money day to day and move forward. So that's sort of my philosophy. Now, in our newsletter, we do keep some core positions out there to keep the populace happy, you know, like holding gold stocks or gold indexes and a few names for a period of time. So I didn't go to cash in the blockchain letter, which is crypto, because I think crypto is in a hot period right now. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with the government getting involved in it. And in our cannabis newsletter, I kept those positions because there's still some potential here of some rescheduling and stuff. But for the main newsletter, we pretty much went to cashier, and we'll see how it plays out during the or after the Jewish holidays.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, do you expect gold to continue to set record highs?
Well, I'm not so excited right here. I think it may have exhausted itself on a very short-term basis, again, tied to these short-term cycles that I've been talking about. So looked a little tired to me here. I think overall the answer is yes, just like I think overall the stock market is not done yet. Where it will be in 2026 is a whole other story. But I think, you know, if you take a year or two perspective, yeah, I could see gold at 5,000 possibly, or some number close to that. But it doesn't mean you can't get a few hundred dollars shakeout in the meantime. And stocks, all the ETFs that are tied to gold and silver stocks, I think are extended. So a lot of euphoria here, and the charts to me look vulnerable. So I sold them. I'm out right here as a trader. So we'll see what happens.
What's happening with crude?
I'm still a bear. We had a position in the inverse in ETF for crude oil. My theory was, as I mentioned previous, we had a target to $55. It got there a few months ago, and we had an alternate target as low as $47, which has not been fulfilled. So I wouldn't be surprised that, between now and year end, crude oil heads south again. They try to stage a rally here in the last week or two in natural gas, and it just keeps falling over itself. It looked like it was trying to take off a little bit, and it was interesting since it's so cheap and there's been so much demand for natural gas, particularly with the delays in getting the nuclear facilities up and running. But it fell on its face here the last day or so. But as far as crude, it's bullish for the stock market. You want to see crude oil go down. It's a tax on consumers. If it does take off for fundamental, geopolitical, or whatever reasons. But the charts tell me we're just zigzagging around and we're going to move lower. So that's sort of been my premise. So I'm not doing anything really except playing an ETF short in the crude oil market. And you can say that some of the oil-related companies are not bad investments because they pay decent dividends. So I'm not going to say, and they still seem to find ways of making money, even with crude oil at lower prices. But I'm sort of avoiding that industry right now.
Do you expect oil prices will suddenly zoom because of a shortage? Because there are fewer rigs out now looking for oil or pumping oil. So the companies will deliberately cause a bit of a shortage to boost the price.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I think most of it, the price change will depend on what OPEC does, or what happens in the Mideast, or whether the Straits of Hormuz are challenged in some way, and what kind of deals Russia and China make with Iran in terms of oil supply and all kinds of cool stuff. So there's so many floating pieces regarding the oil market that anything is possible. I wouldn't discount it. I mean, as a trader, if there's a trading opportunity and it looks like oil is going to take off, and we're in the markets, we certainly would take advantage of it. But there's no compelling reason for me to jump in here. But what you say could easily be happening, Jim. So I'm not aware of that. But there's manipulation everywhere, from oil to the stock market, so it wouldn't surprise me.
What's going on with Bitcoin and other cryptos?
Well, this is the real exciting part of our interview, because I think there's a lot really going on here. You've got the government really getting active now. There's a lot of activity on the part of the government in getting Bitcoin acquired because of the movement to create the Bitcoin reservoir or exchange. And there's a lot of technical reasons. Bitcoin is in a seasonally positive period, as which should apply to other cryptos as well. So I don't know, looking at the cycle work, looking at commentators that I respect in the industry, and our own, you know, charts, you know, I think there's a lot of upside here between now and year end. So Bitcoin itself, you know, just to refresh our memory here a little bit, got up to a new higher of 123,000 here in the last month or two, and then it dropped to 108,000. Before it went to 123, it got down to 98, then went to 123, then back to 108. Now it's around 117. So most of the charts that I read, and again, we're just talking Bitcoin, and we're talking hundreds of other cryptos out there. We're not even talking about, you know, other things that could be happening in other cryptos like XRP or XLM and other, you know, key players, or the stable coins. There's a whole discussion. So you really need to look at my blockchain letter to get a little more background on what's really happening. But looking at Bitcoin itself, I mean, you know, I think it's reasonable that we could see anywhere from 126 to 145,000 in Bitcoin between now and year end. And, you know, we'll take it from there. And in our blockchain letter, we are positioned accordingly for that. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of action here. You know, you've got acceptance to it, government legislation, cynicism about it, which is bullish. You know, if everybody was overly confident and every analyst said that Bitcoin is great, then obviously you've got, you know, reasons to be concerned. But, you know, top analysts or investors, even like Warren Buffett and other names in the industry, have poo-pooed it completely, and maybe ultimately they'll be right. But I just think the momentum is there, government support is there, public support for there. It's all the gears are in place. It's like saying, are the uranium stocks not attractive now? Or is GE Vernova, the big manufacturer of nuclear equipment, they're in trouble? The answer is just obviously no, because you've got big government support for the movement into nuclear and stuff. So these stocks are still strong, and stocks like Cameco, which supplies uranium, remain strong because of the demand. So the same thing for crypto. We just got momentum, government support for these industries. And, you know, at some time it will get overdone, and it could be, you know, between now and year end at some point they get overpriced and overextended. But I would say even more so than gold right now, because everybody absolutely loves gold after the big move, and I don't discount that it will go higher later, but I think the action is going to be in the crypto here between now and year end, from what I'm hearing, seeing, and interpreting. So if we do get a little pullback in Bitcoin or some of the cryptos here during this late September, October period, I would consider that a buying opportunity.
Anything happening with uranium?
Yeah, it's doing well. As I mentioned, Cameco into new highs, leading purveyor of uranium, and the nuclear stocks, some of the big, I don't want to mention all the names, but some are just hitting new highs here, even in trading today. Some of those are working on the small nuclear reacting component of the business. So the sun is shining on this industry right now, anything related to nuclear. So yeah, it's still hot, still positive. And you got to keep in mind that there's a delay factor here. I mean, you know, you decide you want a nuclear facility to generate power for your AI equipment. You know, it could be a year or two before it's implemented. So there's, you know, over demand and a shortage supply of equipment and power sources and ventilation systems and all kinds of stuff related to the AI. So we got to sort of back up a second. I mean, the real reason that all this happened was because Wall Street decided that AI is the answer to our lives, and to you know, generate AI, you need tremendous computing power, which didn't exist, and we didn't have the electricity to support it. So we suddenly decided that Microsoft sort of kicked this off with the Three Mile Island They changed the name of it. It's not called Three Mile Island anymore. Getting that plant back up and running. Why? Because they needed power and energy that was not able to be supplied by conventional electrical sources. And other companies are involved in other deals now, you know, for the same reason. There's a whole list of them out there. So, delay factors. So it's going to take a while till all this is implemented. I guess once it's implemented, the stock market will anticipate that and start to sell off and realize that these stocks are overpriced at some point and the party is over. Doesn't seem to be there today, but you know, we're watching it as we always do. So, I remain bullish on nuclear. I remain bullish on crypto, gold, I guess long-term, okay, though I'm a little nervous here short-term. Stocks, I'm a little nervous here short-term for cyclical reasons, but still in an uptrend, and I think that's a good summary of where we're at.
Anything going on the cannabis front?
Cannabis is cooling its jets here a little bit, and I'm watching, and we still have the cannabis letter. There's a big run-up, as you know, on the Trump story regarding rescheduling, and that sort of died off here a little bit. You know, we don't know if there is really going to be rescheduled from number one down to number three, which got everybody excited, but we did see some nice moves in some of these stocks. I've mentioned this in the last couple, three interviews, and the one I like to cite is Tilray, which was, as you know, is a Canadian company, and you know, went public. You know, I don't know what it was, a couple bucks a share. Went to $300 a share in the last 10 years, and now got back to 30 cents. But it had a nice move here in the last couple months, from 30 cents up to $1.50. A lot of it, you know, tied to a reverse split of their stock, and also the scheduling story that I just mentioned. But there's so much to the cannabis, and we could spend hours talking about it, but the rescheduling is only part of the puzzle. Will it really happen? And will we get the banking acts cleared and make cannabis legal in the U.S., which officially it's not legal except in states? So it's a mess. It's a mess. So you got to look at the stocks and just trade them. I guess if some story comes out about the rescheduling again or it gets approved, some of the stocks will run up and you can trade them. But until we get all the laws changed and everything in order here, unlike crypto, which we're trying to pass all the laws and create a level playing field for all crypto, which is in process and a couple acts have already been passed in Congress here, unlike that, cannabis doesn't have that backing. We don't have the legislative support across the board that we really need. Canada did it right. I mean, Canada legalized it and, you know, did it correct to begin with. And it got all screwed up here in the U.S. with certain states legalizing it and the federal government not doing it. So it's really a mess down here. So when you ask the question, yeah, you know, we look at them. You can trade some of the stocks, and a lot of it's going to be news-related on the cannabis side, but it's going to take a lot to really clear the air.
On the geocosmic front, should we be watching the skies for anything? Or the
Earth? we got the new moon on Sunday, and that ties, of course, to the of course, as I mentioned, the Rosh Hashanah holiday. And the story came out today that NASA announced increasing solar activity. Like, we didn't really know that. We've known this for quite a while. So they have a journal, that the astrophysical journal, they that came out in the last few days, and they basically saying future solar cycles should be more intense than we've seen. And so, you know, I attend, I haven't done it this past week or so, but I attend Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, and they did a lot of sun studies, and the main thing is monitoring the solar spots and to see how they materialize on the sun. And it was really a revelation to me, you know, when I learned this a few years ago, but it's the spots rotating, particularly the big ones on the surface of the sun. When they face the Earth, they can face other planets. I know Mars was got some solar activity because the solar spots faced Mars a few weeks ago, but you got a huge one facing the Earth, and you've got the risk of that Carrington event that we saw in the mid-19th century here on planet Earth, which could be devastating to the to technology and to civilization if it's strong enough. So, yeah. And we also have, you know, the autumnal equinox coming up on the 22nd of, it's next week. So I always have the theory there's marked change of directions around the solstices and the equinoxes. And that ties in nicely with this Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur theory, too. So we're in that time frame now. So, yep. It's a time to be paying attention a little bit to what's happening on the planet and the sun and on the moon.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.